Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, that was so good this morning. And boy, these guys up here, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Those young guys. So turn with me to, we are going to keep this short and simple, very simple. But turn with me to Matthew 14. We'll look at a few verses there, and then we'll do one little few verses over in Exodus, and then we'll be done and allow you to give tonight. Hallelujah. We want to welcome all our guests from wherever viewing tonight, and we'll probably have, I'll have some family tomorrow night. We're excited about them viewing. Today I was sitting at the lunch table, and I was hearing L.A. give a testimony to Gary, and myself included. He was talking to both of us, and whoever else wanted to tune in. And he was just sharing about some more of his testimony of God the provider and everything that God had done in the last year for his life. And I was listening, and Gary was chiming in, and I was listening and chiming in as well, and just talking about times in the past that God had provided so miraculously for all of us, and every one of you out there could make similar or same testimonies. Many of you have heard my testimony in the past, in which I won't elaborate on tonight, which this summer will be, the summer of 2017 will be 20 years, because it was 1997 that I drew my last secular check from the business that I owned. And at that time I had several men. I think I had a couple of crews maybe working for me, a lot of guys and trucks and all that equipment and all that stuff. But many of you have heard my testimony that the Lord just engraced me at that particular time, because I knew I was going into the ministry and that God had called me. And so we were able to give away a business. Candy and I were able to give away a business. We were able to give away a home and just start afresh. We went to Immokalee. And the amazing part was we did not have a big nest egg either. We didn't have a whole lot saved up. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, I really don't have anything. And they're talking about, I don't have anything in the checking account, but they'll have, you know, $50,000 in the savings. And that's fine. But when I say we didn't have hardly anything, we didn't have anything. I mean, there wasn't hardly anything. So when we went, we just were trusting God. And so that was kind of the testimony going along today. And I didn't get into my part, but they've heard my part before. And so I remember going over in the summer of 1997, which this summer will be 20 years, and God has taken care of us. How many of you can look at me and tell that I have not starved? Hallelujah. Woo! Bring another chicken. Glory to God. So, but I remember that in those first hours, or first days, I would say, that I would go over to the church, because that's where I did all my, you know, study and prayer over there then. And I remember I would be in prayer, and I would start thinking about maybe my salary or what was afforded to me, present tense, and that I cut off everything in the past. And I thought, you know, and your mind starts working. I started thinking, you know, I've got plenty of time. I can start doing some odd jobs, and I can start, you know, because I came from I had a lot of men working for me, but I thought, you know, if I just want to start, because Gary and I come from kind of the same background. We were in construction and concrete and all that. I started thinking, man, if I start doing, like, I could start, you know, pouring a little bit of concrete here and there, you know, make $500-$600 a week, and that'd be a lot nice side money. And the Lord spoke to me. He goes, you know why you're thinking that? I said, no, sir. And he goes, because you don't believe that I can provide for you. And he said, I don't want you to do anything except minister my word. I was like, oh, God, okay. And that's where I've been for the last 20 years. And like I said, you can tell I haven't starved. Amen. I've had the opportunity, like so many of you, through the many years, those 20 years, and all of us, as I said, all of you could give probably a good testimony on that, is that so oftentimes I found, like, in that trusting, that God came at what seemed like to me the midnight hour, and there was always, God always came through, but a lot of times it was like, you know, okay, 97, 98, 99, 100, whew, I got it paid, you know, or whatever it was. And that's just an illustration. I'm just saying what it just, it got her, as they said, as the redneck said, got her done. You know, it accomplished it. And that's faith. And I saw that happen time and time again. And I've read books and I've heard stories of the mothers and the grandmothers with, you know, all those kids in the kitchen, and there was nothing in the cupboard, and they would sit down and they would put the plates out, and they would just, mama or grandma would pray and knock on the door, and somebody from the church or somebody somewhere would have bagfuls of groceries. And man, I would cry over those stories, and they're real. They're true. And God does. He will meet you in the midnight hour. The only thing is, it seems like God has even a higher MO than that. And we know that's true, especially when it comes to the gospel. Matthew 14, verse 15, as I said, these are familiar. Or I said I could keep it simple. These are familiar scriptures. Verse 15 says this, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and looked up into heaven and blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and his disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children." Now, you've all read this umpteen dozen times, and you probably guess that's where he's going. But nevertheless, the truth is the absolute truth. Here we see Jesus, when he gets a chance to personify his Father, we see that he's more than enough. He's absolutely more than enough. It wasn't just that he got it done. He got it done in more than enough fashion. Amen? There was 12 baskets left over. Another illustration was at another time where he fed the 4,000 men. And we all know that this amplifies out to far more than just the 4 or the 5. There was children and women, and so big bunch, just a big bunch. But nevertheless, however big it was, on both illustrations, the one here that we just read was 12 baskets left over. Somebody said, well, that's for the 12, you know, apostles. Maybe, I don't know, could have been, whatever. Good, that sounds good. But then the other one, there was 7 baskets left over, and so 5 apostles didn't get a basket. So they're all mad at each other, the 5 that didn't. So what it really boils down to is that it really doesn't matter. It just shows he's more than enough. He's just more than enough. And so especially when it comes to our part in the kingdom and getting things over to the gospel and him filtering that to us so that eventually he gets it, you know, to us and then through us. Another illustration. Go with me to Exodus chapter 36. Let's look at verse 2. "And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred in him up to come and to do the work, to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they had made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it and too much. Hallelujah. Amen. If you read, if we read the other, you know, the preceding chapter, it would amplify, or it would say just what we just read, that this was a free will offering. This wasn't like, you know, you get burnt if you don't. It was like you can, out of your own heart, just out of your own heart, you know, just bring this if your heart convicts you, if your heart desires. And so they would bring this every morning, and it came to the, and this was not, you know, Solomon's temple. This was the tabernacle in the wilderness that Moses was going to erect. And, you know, they just said, you know, whatever the Lord, you know, this is what God says, offer, you know, give you an opportunity, because we need gold, we need this. God's told us to build it such and such and such and such. And we just read where it was too much. They brought the stuff, and it became to a place where Moses gave the commandment. They came to Moses and said, look, we've got more than enough. You're going to have to do something about this. Tell the people, don't bring it anymore. Hallelujah. Now, I have not yet been in a conference where, like, the second night or the first night, you know, the pastor gets up and says, you know what, listen, after our first three offerings, folks, we've got, this conference has been taken care of. We've got enough to bless our speakers. It's spilled over in the house. Any missionary projects we have this week or this year, we can see it. That's all taken care of just through what's coming. In fact, until we know what to do with what we got, don't bring any more. I haven't seen that. That's in the old. We're in the new. Hallelujah. Too much. Everybody say this. He is the God of too much. Hallelujah. So listen, if you believe that, he's gonna visit you, and he's going to bring too much. But when you get too much, guess what you get to do with it? Propagate the gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's do it again. He is unto me the God of too much. Amen.